What is a guideline for sustainable tourism? If you need to practice, suppose as a fresh, as a raw student, someone asks, what are the principles? You have now understood the dimensions, the three dimensions, that is socio, economic, and environmental dimension. What are the tourism principles? Some of the principles of sustainable tourism. Mind it, these are some, not all. Let us see what they are. Thoughtful or considerable use of resources. Yes, as I mentioned, this is given to us by our future community, which means our future generation that is going to come. It should not be like petrol. We should not be finishing all the reserve that we have for this generation only in the 21st century and leave nothing. Of course, it's being visible that many of the natural resources will disappear. Like water tables are dropping drastically in most part of the world. Global warming is happening. That's again overutilization of the resources. Yeah. So one of the principle is thoughtful use of the resources. How much we can do? Is there an alternate so that overutilization doesn't happen? I'm going to talk more onto it. Minimizing overconsumption and creating a waste. Carbon impact that we do by traveling by our own vehicle, blowing up carbon in the air. We can use a public transport instead of two people riding on a bike or one or two people going in a four-wheeler. They can very well use a public transport and have less carbon impact in the air. That is considerable use, a thoughtful use. Likewise, preserving the biodiversity, because biodiversity results into many activities that is done by nature automatically. Flow of stream of water would result into growth of grass in a particular area. And protection of the soil, the more greenery around, which means the soil is being protected because erosion happens in course of time by blow of wind, by nature, by any activity of nature. But if you preserve the biodiversity, which means planting trees, managing the waste, utilization of water, sensible, all this is preserving the biodiversity, making development and planning progress together. So development and planning should be put together so that benefit comes together. Also supporting livelihood of the local communities. The local communities may not have any other source of earning. So protect these, as I mentioned, the local community. If you have taken their land to make a resort, then provide them some job in your resort that you have built. If they are falling short in skills, train them. Come up with some new job for them. So that is providing, supporting the livelihood so that they continue living in their own vicinity, at the same time getting economical benefit and participation of local communities. I mentioned this. Train them, bring them as a skilled force, train them for various skilled jobs and provide them employment opportunities so that they live within their habitat, at the same time benefit out of the growth that is coming in. So these are some of the basic principles of sustainable tourism. We continue once again onto that, having one-to-one interaction with the stakeholder and the public on a regular basis. Take an account. Continuously keep checking on a scorecard what we have done, how much the benefit has come. There are a lot of regulations that government is doing to give the host community a benefit. Inviting investment for the growth of tourism industry in remote and rural areas. where investors are hesitant to bring in money, giving them tax benefit, giving them opportunity, selling them the land for construction as an infrastructure at a reasonable price so that it could create jobs in that area. These are some of the principles that I'm counting on. Training the manpower I mentioned, you train them. Not very high skilled job, but basic job, housekeeping, maybe law and order, security, all that you can consider. Marketing tourism responsibly, very important. Your tourism should be marketed with not taking overutilizing. So marketing, for example, you have an adventure tourism activity that is meant to be addressed and marketed to those who have the interest in adventure tourism. And likewise, continuously monitoring and doing a research work on it. If some area that is getting disturbed because of various environmental changes, due to global warming or any such activity that would be happening, that has to be continuously researched. For example, overutilization of water tables has resulted into seepage of salt water coming into the sweet water belt and ultimately disturbing the crops in those areas. Amazon River in Brazil is shrinking because a lot of sea water has seeped in or overutilized water of Amazon. And many such examples can be given. Like recent research suggests that Nile River, which is the longest river, is going to experience because the other countries from where the source of Nile is are building up dams to stop the flow of Nile River, which they were allowing it to flow down to Nile. So, for example, Ethiopia, Uganda, where blue and white Nile are the source to begin with, and then it floats into the upper area of Nile. Now they would be having the shortage of water and stopping of these water. We have this water overutilization in our own Indian two state of Karnataka and Tamil Nadu, Kaveri River. We have a dispute onto them because the flow of water from Karnataka to Tamil Nadu was always challenged. So all these are the example of using the environmental resources with thinking, with proper planning, and continuously taking research work onto it. These are all important to be understand, to understand the growth of tourism. Because if you don't take care of it, one day would come in where you would have no destination in its original form. Additional point to be considered is use of local resources. Train them, make them efficient, uplift their capacity, make them what the international, and then also look at the local transport, what is available. And we are going ahead in India with a lot of national highways coming up, more airports are coming up, railway network is being improved and so on. Use of local staying arrangement may be encouraged. This will provide a feel and experience of the life therein, as well as help in supporting local business activities. And the example I can give you here is like homestays that are there in many states of India, where the tourists, instead of going and staying in 4-star, 5-star hotel or luxury resort, they are staying with the host community. And the host community would treat them as what they live. They would teach them as how to go, how to cook a food, how to stay in a house that they live together. Sometimes they encourage them to even have a shower or have a bath on a tube well or a water resource All this is supporting the local staying arrangement and revenue at home stays. There are good number of home stays around the world that is providing employment, providing revenue, providing economical growth, and those who love nature would love to experience this in form of rural or agri-tourism. Encourage the preservation of culture heritage by appreciating but not altering. Yes, so you appreciate them. You bring in tourists like we saw in cultural get-together. Various boat races that happen in Kerala during Onam time period. Or kite flying festival that happens in Gujarat. That activity, or Baisakhi, or Durga Puja, or Ganesh Visarjan. All these activities are various cultural activities that happen. Encourage the preservation of this. And archaeological sites. We have in India Archaeological Survey of India, ASI, that has identified archaeological sites in India, where we are preserving all those archaeological sites, have been identified. Some have been restored so that we can go back into our history and say, oh, this is how we had our archaeological reserves. Look at Egypt. Egypt has almost 20% of the world's archaeological sites there in form of pharaohs, pyramids, and all the culture that they had in the era of Pharaoh. And they are attracting huge number of tourists who come to see the archaeological areas of that country. They are preserving it. Also in the growth of sustainable tourism, a lot of people love to go to flea markets, weekend markets, and sample local cuisine, sometime on a daily basis, enjoy the local food, on the street food. And we do see this in our country as well. And I've seen many tourists enjoying this. Only consideration for them is it should be hygienic, it should be good for their belly. Right. So learning about traditional customs and belief system. So if you go down to Peru or Uruguay, or you go down to Chiang Mai, there are different ethnic groups. They practice few things which are totally different from modern world, and they are retained. We go them and see those as tourists, but they have to be retained. There should be encouragement. They should get revenue out of it. And this is what we talk about, preserving the heritage site, the cultural site, and archaeological site, local food, learning about their traditional custom and belief system. Why do they do this? Learn them, understand them, respect them. Visiting the voluntary and local community project. This is quite important. Many countries can't afford to have the quality of the tourism product up to international standard. And they encourage, through the NGOs, bringing in volunteers who would help. At the same time, those volunteers would explore and see those tourist destinations as their passion. So this is again a sustainable tourism. Because while working with those host communities, these volunteers will not only enjoy by themselves, but also educate the host community to understand what is expected on international tourism platform, how to be ready to meet those, and support fair trade by purchasing goods directly from the individual who have made them. Now, this is to eradicate the middleman, the intermediaries and buying, say, for example, cooperative housing society, cooperative societies, where any product, be it is made out of the seashells or anything made as a local product sold at a farmhouse, fruits, sugar cane juice is sold directly from that source to the tourists. That is sustainable tourism practice. Again, a principle of sustainable tourism. So, look, we come to environmental dimension of tourism. And what are we talking? It may be seen that people relate the environment only to the natural and physical environment. So we talk about trees, water and all that, the physical or the natural environment. It may be noted that the environmental aspect covers more than the natural things. And what are they? Natural resources. Tourism make use of the wide range of natural resources. It could be the hills, seashores, rivers, clean air, land, beaches, mineral waters, and the water in the lake. These are also the environment. If you start damaging the Sweetwater Lake, if you start dumping gray water, zinc, contaminated water into that lake, obviously that water becomes non-usable. Likewise, if you start digging up hills, what will happen? The landslide that we saw happening in many places, you cut those for pebbles. For your construction industry, you are evacuating the sand from the seabeds. Ultimately, managing the sea would be definitely entering some other areas. And many such examples. Overutilization of river water, dumping waste into the rivers. We have seen this. We have big issue with our river, Ganges, Ganga. We are experiencing, despite so many projects that took off and are in practice, still we are unable because we are continuously damaging these natural resources which is gifted to us by nature. So it's not only the protection of environment, but more than that, all these beaches, for example, look at the dumping of the chemical-filled dirty water that we dump in Arabian Sea. What has happened? The natural resources, the marine life, the fish availability around Mumbai is dropping to 50 to 70% now. Good quality of fish is never fished from nearby Arabian Sea, Mumbai. Yeah, they have to go down deep towards Konkan side or towards Gujarat side to bring in fresh fish. And our marine life has drastically been disappearing because of the contamination and because of the dirty water. This is again environmental damage. And ultimately, many countries of the world, I'll give example from Thailand, that has a big demand from tourism perspective, the shrimp that is being consumed by tourists. But do you know that so much of shrimp is not available in Thailand? They import from neighboring countries because their marine life is equally damaged like what we are doing. We are dumping green, dirty water into our sea, and the sea is experiencing excess of zinc and chemical into it. I hope this explains all this. And my dear student, I've always been suggesting, I'm myself a champion for sustainable ecotourism for more than 25 years. On international platform, I've been talking and addressing all my students around the world that as a future, you are the future of our tourism industry. There is a great responsibility that's on your shoulder to take it further and ensure whenever you join as entrepreneur, travelpreneur, employee, ensure that sustainable tourism is practiced in all the three dimensions that I've been continuously talking. Because we as an academia, we are working, government regulations and policies are in place, but at a grassroots level, we need to work a lot. We still find people damaging the beaches, dumping whatever the waste is there. So waste management is another important area of environmental protection. There are countries in the world who stop the tourists from Thailand and Philippines. They stop international tourists to come to those islands for as much as over 1 year till they clean the whole island with all the encroachment and all the dirty water that was dumped in those clean, white beaches. And after that one full year, they have a new, totally cleaned up project that was again offered to tourists. So all that sustainable tourism practices has to be done at the grassroots level. We continue learning on natural habitat. What are they? These are again part of environment. The flora and fauna that's around, the marine life. Tourism only one industry or activity which changes landscape. The natural habitat represent the core of the tourism product in many areas, including natural forests, mountains, regions that attract tourists because of their rivers and lakes. People go down for scuba diving. People go down to look at the flora and fauna that prevails in some areas. Imagine how this flora and fauna and scuba diving opportunities being damaged by re-dumping the dirty water. There are many areas where we even can't think of flora and fauna anymore. Imagine the spilling of the diesel coming out of the ship that carry diesel, and it breaks and the whole beach of certain area get damaged. It only not only damages the beaches, but also the natural marine life there, as well as the birds who move around like seagulls and other birds who move around on the beaches, and they get stuck with that diesel. So again, all areas we need to practice. It is not just taking and talking about environment. We have to protect all these support like forest, mountain, and all other areas to implement this as a natural habitat. We go into agri-based habitat. Agri-based habitat may include diverse range of agriculture system, including agriculture landscape, man-made forest, and fish farm. A lot of fish farming is happening by man himself. And how does that happen? They've got fish ponds, where they have got prawn farms, where the fish of the sweet water and the prawn from the sweet water are being put for growing, and that is a commercial process. So that is again linked to the environment that we need to continuously protect. Wildlife is another environment that we talk of, and we in India, we are blessed with so many national parks, practically in all the states and union territory, including Andaman and Nicobar. We have our national parks, bird sanctuary, wildlife preservation. So it may have dimensions such as land-based mammals and reptiles, flora and fauna, birds, insects, fish, and other marine mammals. So we have got Gir National Park, protection of the wildlife there. We have got Kaziranga National Park, where there is one horned rhino that is being retained. And likewise, we have different man-made resorts or natural parks that have been made other than what nature has gifted us. We are protecting the wildlife, and this is quite important because out of the tigers, the Tiger Project of India, out of the Asian tiger, India is blessed with 80% of the world tiger population within India, thanks to our Tiger Project that we are protecting. We have stopped poaching. We are providing them natural habitat. That is, again, an environmental protection. And that would bring in our tourists. Artificial habitat, I mentioned about this. Anything artificially done to create a habitat, providing them a natural habitat sort of a thing, be it is in form of a desert or in form of a wildlife belt that we have brought in the natural national parks. So it may be noted that in the context of tourism, there are several dimensions to the artificial habitat, such as individual buildings and structures, villages and townscape, transport infrastructure, dams and reservoirs that have come in quite a big number in recent years, man-made, artificial. They are not actual, but yes, they have been created. Why? To protect our environment so that wildlife grows. And I gave the ideal example of Tiger Project that we have in India. The Statue of Unity in Gujarat is one of the recent examples in India where we are getting a lot of tourists coming in. And to add further, I just mentioned that we have got very recently announced we have a submarine that would be operational in Dwarka, Gujarat, that will go as much as 300 meters down the sea level. That's quite an addition to our environmental growth. Adverse effect of tourism on environment. We have been talking how to protect, what are the principles, what are the adverse impact that has come in. Let's count on to them. The adverse impact of the environment relates to the pressure on nature. Mind it, nature doesn't keep it anything. It will come up, revolt, and come up with as much pressure that you have stopped it. It will come up another side with that much pressure. So wildlife and habitat, creation of pollution and waste that we have been doing for a number of years in our tourism growth, internationally as well as nationally. So what has happened? Environmental issues that need to be addressed are deterioration of natural resources. Very recently, one of the reports from UNWTO suggests that, from UN basically, that in some part of India, the water level, the water table is not even sufficient for next 5 years, which is quite an alarming thing. What happens due to this? A cavity forms up on the land, and with that cavity happening, suddenly the whole land drops and there is a sinking of land, and this we have been seeing happening. So that is quite an adverse impact of not protecting the environment. And mind it, if we have all this, then only tourists would come. There are quite a number of places, especially coastal areas, which are no more getting a tourist because they were overutilized and the sea level has risen to such an extent that those islands have now been emptied and they are now deserted. So disruption of wildlife, if you don't protect the wildlife, if you don't provide them their natural habitat to live, obviously it will die down. How much they can go? And that's why you see various animals coming into mainland, be it is elephant in Assam or Kerala, or the tiger and other leopards coming in out to the human areas. Even when there is a flooding, we have seen crocodiles coming into the main cities. We have noticed that. So disruption of wildlife, creation of pollution and waste. Waste creation and pollution is an ongoing issue for many destinations. We continuously keep creating waste despite a lot of policies being implemented. My dear student, I identified this to you that at a grassroots level, we have to do a lot of work. Academia, like I'm talking to you, you as a student listening to me, but at a grassroots level, this should be practiced in our country. Yes? So creation of pollution and waste, contaminating the land, freshwater resources and marine resources. Freshwater resources would be something for which you may see another war happening in the world. People would fight for water because one country would say, the source of this river is from my country. I have the right to stop it, to build dam for my country's development. The other country where this river was traditionally flowing from its source would find it difficult to get water. Yeah, so all these are an area that need to be addressed. And mind it, this is tourism and environmental protection that we are looking in detail. I picked up a lot of examples to explain to you the environmental dimension of sustainable tourism.